All right, Luke 7:30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized of him. We're studying the counsel of God. We studied a lot of them in the Old Testament yesterday. We saw that the counsel of God was faithful, was wonderful, that the wicked despise the counsel of God, the wicked one despises. Now we're going to look and see what Jeremiah says about it. Jeremiah 32. Let's start in verse 17. This is his prayer. O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And that's what happens. And that's the worst thing that can happen to you. To be given according to the fruit of his doings. Because everything about every fruit of your activity is the antithesis of the counsel of God. There is nothing your mind can conceive of that is according to the counsel of God. You can talk and say the words, but you won't hear, you won't understand even the words you're saying. All right, let's go to Daniel, chapter 4. I'm really happy for you. This is when Nebuchadnezzar had a vision, and then he got really upset and afflicted. He had a vision of a tree. Daniel is going to talk about it. Then, in verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpreter thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy doings to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the decree, have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O my king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So his prayer is that the king's counsel or decree or doctrine, if you will, would be the same as Daniel's, which was the same as God's. And that's got to be the prayer for every one of you, every one of us, that our counsel and our that we would not only speak the full counsel of God, but that we would live the full counsel of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. So let's and that counsel of God has never changed. He doesn't change with time.
Is that discernment?
It's discernment that comes from repentance. So that you're let's go to Hebrews 5 real quick. This is Hebrews 5 answers Mr. Bojo's questions, if I can find it. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, God, not good and evil after your understanding, but good and evil after God's understanding, after the full counsel of God. Good is that which edifies the bride. Bad is that which takes away the edification. That's it. Good, evil. Kathos, taka. Agathos, not kathos. Agathos and kathos. Amen? So how do you do it? How do you do it? Where does your discernment come from? By reason of use, that their senses have been exercised to discern good and evil. Now, how do you get discerned? How does that happen? What? By reason of use, what? By reason of speaking whatever you think. You understand why that's so important? Because otherwise, you're not by reason of use. You're using it in your mind, and you're living in la la land.
Even if some of the things that you say are initially are judgment and anger and whatever.
I don't care what you say. You've got to let it out. If you don't let it out, then you still are trying to be your own God. You have set yourself up in the temple of God, showing yourself that you are God. For you show to yourself what you think is right and wrong, good and evil. That's why it must be prophecy. It must bubble forth, and whatever's there, you say it, no matter what the consequences. You lose the capacity to be afraid of conflict.
So...
Are you trying to be Mr. Cool over there with your little collar up?
And he looks like Elvis. He doesn't really have to try.
Huh?
He doesn't have to try. He's already
cool. He's cool?
He's cool. Yeah. Genetics.
Genetics?
Genetics.
So why is your collar up?
It's cool.
You're cold?
Yeah.
No. He's very cool.
Vent is blowing on my neck and my head and freezing me out.
All
right.
Is the meaning here that the more you let that out,
the more
you can't judge good and evil if there's nothing there to judge. So the thing that comes out of you is that's the point when you're able to discern it. And
right.
So the more that happens, the more it becomes
natural.
Clearer,
right.
or a habit, or what you know.
You don't have any more governor. If you have a governor, then you're going to govern the words of Christ. This is the opposite of what is taught. You're taught to be nice. And by nature, you want to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
That's called cowardice.
Yeah.
What? You don't think that's cowardice?
Well, yeah. I mean, you taught me that once before. I mean, you know, I believe it once.
Then why did you say no when I said it?
I'm still waking up this morning. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, you see, the evil is if you don't let things out, you're protecting yourself. And you can't be dealt with.
Well, you'll never discern good and evil.
Protecting yourself
is survival. Yeah, but it's the opposite of what the kingdom of God and the full counsel of God is. You do nothing to protect yourself. You're careful for nothing.
Especially that.
We were talking this morning about all this, you know, money stuff and politics and all that kind of stuff. And as we were coming back, you know, I was commenting that in a world where there's constant conflict, Jesus says to die, you know, to lay down your life, which is like crazy, you know. But if God's God, then that's, you know, we know that's the truth.
Amen.
And then we can only do that.
Let's go to Acts 2. We're going to start looking at counsel in the New Testament now. This is an important one.
I'll add one last thing to say about what you were saying. Because I have this inner conflict between being speaking and being transparent and holding it in, because if I hold it in, I'm silently judging. If I let it out, then I've outwardly judged and at times attacked. But I guess you do it. John said, or he didn't say, that the discernment, you repent and move on.
Well, again, that's why there's a body. In my Father's house are many mansions. It says, what it actually says is many places of abiding, or many seders. And a seder is where there's total transparency. There's no protecting. You don't protect each other. You protect each other, you don't protect yourself. But in the speaking, then the body will discern. That's why there must needs be heresy, so that which is approved among you can be seen. But it has to be said in order to be reproved or admonished or whatever. You can't sit silently in judgment and then just talk about it, and then you become a talebearer. And that's, remember, that murders three people.
Yeah.
The one that hears it, the one that talks, is doing the talking, and the one you're talking about. Oh, but I'm saying good things. No, it's still talebearing. Men as beasts talk about things. Yeah, anyway, I don't want to go over that. You have to cross that barrier. You have to go from a lifetime spent in internal judgment, sitting on the temple, judging for yourself what you're going to say and not say, and exploding. If you hold it in, if you continue to not respond, then you will lose the capacity for discernment. You will just be a bump on a log. And the idea of the swarm, you know, what we've talked about. It's the swarm theory that causes that, because this way is so sure and complete within each one of us, if you let that way out by your total abandonment of self, taking no thought and no governors, then the mystery can manifest. But when you sit and say, either I shouldn't say that, or you know, whatever, the thousand things that you say in your mind to justify silence, God help you. You're not living in the full counsel of God.
You never get to eating meat that way. You're just always sucking on that thing that gives you milk.
All right. Let's go.
Acts 2.
This is Peter's address at Pentecost. He goes through the first part, which is he said, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then in verse 22, he said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now, do you understand what he's saying? It was by the determined counsel of God that he was taken and crucified and slain. And it was in, it's hard for us to conceive of this, but Jesus Christ, who made the world, who all things were made by him, of him, and for him, he, all power of God was seated in him. And yet he, as Son of Man, had to go through all of the garbage at his crucifixion and all of the garbage at his, in the 3 days he spent in the grave, without ever once ascribing or even tempted to take the power back that he could have destroyed every enemy with a snap of his fingers. But then he would have just been an ideal instead of what's manifest in you. There would be no bride. And so that's the antithesis of the full counsel of God. Do you understand?
It's almost like going to the cross was the whole counsel of God.
Well, it was.
Like that's the picture of it.
All right. Let's go to Acts 4. Peter and John had just been thrown in prison, and then they were threatened and then released. And then Peter and John, it doesn't say which one is talking, but in verse 23, let's, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that are in them, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. So again, they're emphasizing that Jesus was crucified by the determined and full counsel of God. Amen? Let's go to Acts 13.
When you see that, it's just like it's so clear. It's the wisdom of God. There's no other way that it can unfold.
You know, that our vision makes me always work. I want to hear you when you say what.
Say more on anybody off, just say.
It's set at 78, Ronnie. That's what they recommend to set it at.
Yeah.
Who is?
The
No, let's not go there. Let's go to Acts 20. It's too long to explain that one. Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders. And he says in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me, or what are about to happen. But none of these things move me, neither count I myself my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among them I have gone preaching, the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shun to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now the only question is, in your life, have you declared the full counsel? First of all, do you know it? Second of all, if you know it, how can you not speak it? All right, let's look at a couple more. Let's go to Ephesians.
How does this counsel relate to wonderful counselor, the Christ's counselor?
Well, he reveals it. The fullness of the counsel of God was revealed in Christ, and he is the full counsel of God. And the only way, the whole idea of the counsel of God is, as there can be none of you. There can be nothing of you.
It's about the whole way you can declare it. It's a total abandonment.
But the moment you try to protect yourself, the moment you try to do anything, you are in the picture. And you have departed from the full counsel of God and returned to the counsel of men. If you believe, you will speak. It's as automatic as breathing. Ephesians. Chapter 1. I want to go to, let's talk about the counsel of men. Let's go to Luke 23.
Luke 23.
behold, there was a man named Joseph in verse 50. Luke 23, verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a consular. And there he's referencing he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them with regard to the crucifixion of Christ. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, etc., etc. We know the rest. But he did not consent to the counsel and deed of them. It's almost a guarantee. If what your counsel is the same as the world's counsel, that it's the opposite of what the true counsel of God is. I'm not saying it's true in every case. It may not be. But as far as I can see, the counsel of men is always the antithesis of the counsel of God. Therefore, if your life, thoughts, ideas are in line with the counsel of men and are not in line with the counsel of God.
And look who we call counselors here. Lawyers, therapists, judges, teachers.
Well, that's fine. That's the system.
That is the system.
And we are to be under that system for discipline. All right, let's look at another one. Let's go to Acts 27. I just looked at the clock. We're going to quit.
Your rollover minutes.
Acts 27.
Do you know what the counsel of God is? What is the full counsel of God? Well, it's all true, but the predicate of it is your death. You don't try to die. If you try to die, that's an oxymoron, you mortify. You see yourself. You see there's been a usurper. And it's you. We studied Hydra, which is this beast that takes up a third of the circuit of the zodiac, over 120 degrees of the circle. In the ancient, there were the 12 labels Hercules, but there were also the 12 labels of, I can't ever pronounce his name, Heracles, whatever it is, Heracles. But one of his labors was the destruction of this Hydra. And the Hydra was, it just started out as one being, one snake, when somebody went to war with it and cut off one of its head, it grew two more. Until finally the time that the battle occurred, there was over 100 heads on this one body. And you had to find the golden head, the one that was eternal. And so in order to keep from having the head grow back, Heracles had his nephew come along with a torch, and so the head was cut off, and instantly the wound was cauterized, and the head couldn't grow. The two more heads couldn't grow. And they did that, and it took the whole labor, and then they finally found the golden head and cut it off and put it under a rock. But that's a picture of your mind. You try to stop one thing, and two other things come up. And by the time you reach the age that you are, there's hundreds, thousands of heads. But you know from the mystery of God that there's only one in control, the golden head. He is the essence of you, your you-ness. So you need to see that that one head has already been done. You don't have to do anything. You see that Christ has already destroyed it. And that reckoning of your death is the mystery of God. That's a myth, but the myth sometimes carries a bunches of truth. So you stop trying to deal with one thing and deal with the issue. The issue is you. You are the evil one. So any consciousness of you is the indicator that you've resurrected that whole ungodly beast again. You can't just resurrect a little part of him because you get all those other.
How do we stop being the evil one?
You reckon yourself crucified. You're dead. You don't pay any attention to your mind or your emotions. The moment you pay attention to it, you've got the whole colony back again.
It's like the parable where they cast out the demons and they come back. Seven more come back.
Right.
A nice swept
because
out,
you didn't.
Cleaned out place you
didn't.
You got a place.
You didn't defeat the strong. You have to defeat the strong man before his minions. Before you defeat the house is what the parable is about. And the strong man, the devil, was defeated. He is gone. The problem is that all his minions are the human race. That's why Jesus called he's called the Jews that believed on him, you sons of Satan, you the child of the devil. Why? Because they had some kind of conscious acceptance of him, but they were still kept alive. How do you know you're keeping alive? Because you're protecting your interests. You're following your own sense of what? And then there's all kinds of words for all the things you do. You eat the flesh of the children. You eat the flesh of sports stars. You eat the flesh of politicians. You have to have a cause for something. You have to give a meaningless life meaning.
Must be feeling better.
Anyway, everybody understand perfectly? All right, take a big guy.